You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Okay, now we've got some comments about the podcast.
Were you able to get them off Instagram? Were you? Did you?
No,
had you learned how to
no,
do that?
I've deferred to you to do that. So we'll read them out at the end. So we're guided by them, by the people who say they don't listen but keep ringing in.
Who have fake accounts when they actually write in for a comment.
No, that's good. So we like that.
Now, do you think they're getting worse, the comments, because of what we're doing?
Because we say we read out the bad comments.
Yes. No, just a feedback
no,
loop.
No, we don't care. Now we got the – it was one of the comments was why do I keep referring to Ben Fordham from Sydney? What's he on?
2GB.
2GB. Took over from Ivan?
He took over from Alan Jones, yes. Who took over from John Laws, who took over from
the Biggies. So we've got Ivan in, and we've got the Muff Man, Richard Wilson Croft, and we've got what? You don't want me to mention you?
No, you can mention him, but right. Why? I mean, we're
Sue
all
Stanley.
Here.
Why? I'll tell you why. Because you're speaking to a microphone. So is the Muff Man. So is Ivan. So is me. And if they
good
hear a woman's voice.
It's
you are a woman, aren't you?
Today I identify as one.
Right, good. Well, then that's covered.
No, they, them here.
That politically correct base.
You must have a woman in the house because it smells nice in here.
It does. What is this?
That's one of those puffer things that come. You put water and then you put essence into it.
Oh.
And it's a, is it a diffuser? No.
And I put the calming...
An infuser.
The essence I put in is calming for you, so you can...
Is it working?
You can just relax.
Who was it that said, why do I call Dr. Ben Fordham...
Dr. Ben Fordham.
Why do I call him Dr. Ben? I'll tell you who said that. I wrote it down here. Oh, here we are. It's Sandy Gibber. Sandy, what's a... Sandy Gibbo?
That's correct.
Sandy Gibbo
looks
says,
like
why does Sam call Ben Fordham Dr. Ben? Well, God, strike me if you haven't been listening. Ben Fordham, who's very, very popular in Sydney and all over Australia, networking what he does on the talk radio, he likes to come on the podcast. Well, he did. I hope he continues. He's coming on today, I think. And he came on primarily to say that he'd like to psychoanalyze Don Scott, who used to be on the podcast. Never a lot of people miss Don Scott, and we miss Don Scott.
We do. But
Don's not coming back, so you can keep saying, where's Don? Don's down in his little cave where he lives, down on the Mornington Peninsula, tampering around with all the horses. I don't know. Have you spoken to Don? He used to ring you four times a day, Sue.
Oh, he's giving me the arse.
And now he's dropped off. It must be guilt by association. He doesn't speak to me, so therefore he doesn't speak to you.
I have rung him, but I think he's more.
You've
he's
rung
more
him.
Clung
he ever
on
rung
to
you.
He's no, not recently, but he's latched on to the Miss Phoebe.
Well, now there's another thing. So there's one of the other comments. Where are they here? Okay. Oh, so Deb. Ashley, what's her name? Deb Asprey. Deb someone.
Dashley.
Dashley. Deb Dashley.
Can't even read your own writing. There you go.
Miss Don and Phoebe.
Yes.
Is Don going out with Phoebe? That's a simple question. Is he? Ivan, do you know?
No, I haven't heard.
No, he's got a passion, and I think he wants to secretly go on Married at First Sight. He just loves Married at First Sight.
Does he?
Yeah. So Phoebe watches it obviously as well.
Yes.
And then he rings her all the time after the show.
Yeah.
Just for a recap. Whoa, why did they do this?
Yeah,
why did they do
it? He used to ring you about it.
People love that show, don't they?
He did. He used to ring me, but
why doesn't he ring you anymore?
Because I've been given the flick.
The lemonade. Because you know me, is that why?
Well, maybe.
Guilt by association.
When was the last time you spoke to Don?
Oh, well, when he walked out of here. Yes.
In a while. No, come on. What? Come on.
You've spoken to him before then?
Have I?
After what? That?
Yeah, when?
Probably a week or two after.
No, well, I rang him to say, what's happening? And he said, oh, I'll let you know. Well, I'm still waiting.
He said he'd get back to you.
He'd get back to me. Yeah.
Maybe well, he's thinking time, of the right response.
Well, give him time. He's a bit emotional.
13th of March, isn't it? He's been gone for 3 months. How long will it take before he gets back to me? Anyhow, that's why Deborah Dashley, that's why I called Dr. Ben, because he came on, he said he'd like to psychoanalyze Don Scott because he can't be as silly as you make out that he is, and he thinks he's playing you on a break. So I called him Dr. Ben Fordham, MD, which is not the medical term, it's managing Don. And everyone now rings in to his broadcast in Sydney and calls him the doctor.
The doc.
And so he's the doctor. Dr. Ben. So that's what we're doing that for. Now, where would we start here? Do you know what bacteria is?
I've heard of it.
Well, bacteria. Let me tell you what bacteria
is. Got a fair
is.
Idea. Is
it members of the Labor Party?
Or? Bacteria is a ubiquitous one-celled organism, either appearing singularly or in groups.
Is that an anemone?
A what? Enema?
Enema? No, no,
an anomaly?
An anomaly?
No, I don't know.
It's a one cell vertebrae or something?
An amoeba?
That's
there
it.
There you go.
That's probably an Could amoeba be. Is a one. And now that is what bacteria is. And they are invading the central business district as we speak. And they go under the name of climate activists.
So they're not a germ?
Well, they are a germ. They go under the name of climate extinction.
Extinction Rebellion.
And that's what it's called. And they are slowly bringing the central business district to its knees by their foolhardy, not foolhardy, they're just stupidity, they're ill-bred and inbred. They're probably inbred, most of them, I'd say. Most of them are inbred, which...
Well, they had scientists protesting yesterday.
Yeah, because... The scientists are recipients of the grants that the public purse gives to people to promote the hoax that climate change is ruining. Climate might be changing, but it's got nothing to do with us. And I don't know how many different scientists have said that, but they all clamber on, the ones that promote it, clamber onto the fact that they get grants and their livelihood and their public purse, gives them a ride through life. Without
they like money. You know, surprisingly, scientists like money, and so whoever's funding them often tends to...
On top of that... See, I live in the central business district here in Melbourne, if you're living on the other side of the world. And we've just had a vote about the yes-no vote about, if you need me to tell you what the yes-no vote was, it was a plebiscite which was overwhelmingly rejected.
Correct.
But don't worry, our city council is they're thumbing their nose at the electorate.
At democracy, no they, democracy.
Shut up, Dick. They're thumbing their nose at what the general populace wants. And the point of me mentioning this is, so this is what the Melbourne City Council are doing. The Melbourne City Council has passed a motion to establish an Indigenous voice to council with the support of the Lord Mayor Sally Capp. God love her. The concept mirrors parts of the tradition, the rationale of the failed voice to parliament proposal, which was overwhelmingly rejected by during a federal referendum. So it's been but the council are thumbing their nose at the ratepayers and the people, so they're going on with it. So the point of me mentioning this is, would you think the Melbourne City Council, along with the Victorian Police, along with the people I don't know who, along with the SAS, Do you think they could do something constructive for once for the people who live in the central business district and are trying to get their businesses back online after the disgraceful Andrews government crueled us, brought us to our knees? Wait till I get on to the ombudsman who is retiring, the woman who is an ombudsman. Did she give a nice scathing report on her dealing with the Andrews government? Do you think that instead of having a bogus voice to council, which was overwhelmingly rejected, that they might be able to put their resources and their brain power, should there be any floating around that's spare, into getting cars and trucks and buses and water cannons down and handcuffing those people and putting them in the back of a paddy wagon and taking them to a holding cell and ask them who they are, what they're doing, have they got a job, are they in the city, are they residents, who are they, and so people can get on with their lives. It is an absolute disgrace that in the name of democracy and protest that you are allowed to disrupt the comings and goings of people trying to pay for the exorbitant costs of living in this Victorian state. And if you want to have a look at how difficult it is to live in this state, love living in it, I'm not moving. We have the highest debt by far of any state. We have the highest energy costs. We have the highest fuel costs. We have the highest taxes. We have the highest debt. We don't tick a box on any of the other states, and yet we're putting up with the trash, the scum, the bacteria that are trying to cruel the central business district from getting back on its feet. Now, there's an editorial, and seriously, what without pulling your dicks and massaging and being virtuous and saying, oh, look what we're doing, voice to council, holy mackerel, how about you do something that the general public who live in the central business district might embrace?
This is the same council that took a vote on the Gaza war with Israel and decided and voted to have a ceasefire. Well, that worked well for them a couple of weeks ago.
Not only did that work well, it didn't work well. What happened, what that incited was people to round up all the Jewish businesses and all the people who live in the Jewish enclaves and protest about them by going shouting at them and closing their businesses down and advocating people don't trade with them.
Well, Darren Hinch is apparently running for Lord Mayor. So when's all that?
When's the election?
It's in November.
I think right. Sally was announcing whether she would be running or not.
Yeah, surely she can't.
In April, I think. So she hasn't decided yet. Nicholas Rees, who's the Deputy Lord Mayor, he would be...
Well, if there'd be any reason why you wouldn't vote for Sally, it'd be if she gets rid of that nonsense of voice to council after people have rejected it.
How can they do it, Sam?
The graffiti is up on St Paul's Cathedral, isn't it, as you come down the great church there?
Graffiti everywhere.
Vote yes.
Graffiti, it says vote yes.
Yep. They've still got the advertising up there. If they could just take that off the beautiful facade, which I'm a member of that church. Oh, yes, not an active member.
If the padre could actually
get the construction company to remove that and get on with his life and stop pulling... And honestly, stop trying to be so virtuous and show that you...
Would you remember when the left-wing politics used to be about, like, you know, working class issues, like, say, the cost of living and, like, helping small businesses and things like that? And now it's just all about woke. It's just all about these woke agendas, like the Aboriginal voice, like climate change, which are mostly fictitious and deliberately divisive agendas.
Well, what about the Moomba parade? They cancelled that.
What the hell was that about?
Parade on Monday because of the heat, the extreme heat. That's what they were promoting. It didn't even reach 40 degrees.
Now, one of the little dribblers who was interviewed by...
Geez, I worked for 17 years at 45 degrees. Like,
there you go.
This is not extreme heat.
One of the little dribblers who was interviewed by the patronising media and asked one of the climate activists they said, what are you doing this for? Mm-hmm. And the girl or the woman or the young student she said, well, look, you're sweating already and it's only 7:30 in the morning. That was the reason why they were doing it, because they thought the climate had made them sweat at 7:30. That was her answer. And I'm not sure if the person interviewing told her that we'd been in the grips of 3 days of pretty hot weather, which has been going on. Well, I've been on the planet for since the middle of last century.
Shit, that long.
Since
the middle of last century.
Since Ned Kelly.
The middle of last century. Yeah, I have. And I know people who have been on it well before that, and they said it was just been just as hot in all those summer months. Hundreds of years ago.
However,
and if you have 3 days hot in a row, probably the night times are going to be hot and the temperature will still be... And sweating has got nothing to do with why you're holding up the traffic on the corner of Swanson Street and Exhibition Street.
However, I do agree with them cancelling the Moomba Parade due to the heat.
Really?
Yep.
For the
absolutely
for the performers
or for the
probably more for the performers, because we do it all the years each year. So we go to the Junior Lord Mayor competition. We have the like a nice car that takes the young children around onto the parade.
Oh yeah,
and I can tell you in previous years it's been hot, yep. And just standing there for hours, because you've got to like stand in the heat and wait and wait and wait. And then it just gets so hot that it's just so. This heat, I do agree for the safety of the performers or people on the sideline.
So people have been working on the floats for 6-8 months. What happens? Do we have another go at them, or do they roll them out next year? Like they're in a warehouse over.
We live in Melbourne. We've got climates. We've got four seasons in a day.
So Sue, have they ever cancelled the Moomba Parade because of heat before?
No, it's the first time ever.
So now it's because we live in a litigious society, you'd only have to have one person collapse just through lack of hydration, and they would probably sue the council for having them stand there, do you think? That's the way it's
absolutely.
All headed.
Mm. Absolutely. Wasn't there someone who died dehydration in one of the concerts or something just recently?
And also it's ideology.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, I think so if you obviously were to, safety of all performers. So
if you were to look into Moomba Parade, you can be sure there was one that was held on a 35-day or a 38. So you can bet there would have been one that was held.
We live in a society where everyone sues now.
It's true. I agree with that. But also it's ideology, because if they cancel it, they can say, oh, well, cancel because of climate change. You know what I mean? So they can then push that ideology, whereas that's not the reason at all, which is what you said, is the fact that someone might pass out.
Now, we also noticed, just moving on, we also noticed that the football season started. I don't know. How did that go? How's the opening round gone? Haven't you kept abreast of it, or what's happened? Or
I've only seen the KO mini highlights. I saw a ruckman in the news.
Mason Cox.
Yes. Yep.
Barney McCusker had a little double entendre. He said Mason Cox was being a dick, which is not bad, is it? Cox and dick.
Bernie.
He said Mason Cox was being a dick. By what did he? You tell me what he did, and I'll tell you why.
And you tell me. Yeah.
I'll tell you why it should
never
happen.
Tidy it up a bit. No, I think it happened before the game, so it was out on the ground.
On the
ground. As they love to do their warm-ups that you love, Sam. And they're just going through their motions, their practices of ruck contests.
Mm.
And he's among a gaggle of Sydney players and maybe a coach. Mm. And he seemed to have run into them.
We've said this plenty of times before. And Don used to, and this is one of the few things I agreed with Don, or he agreed with me in. Tell me why it is necessary for AFL footballers to invade the ground before a game, kick to one another, have shots at goal, practice their ruck work before the game to warm up. If you couldn't warm up inside with all the sophisticated equipment you have to ride or step on or climb upstairs on or do wind sprints along the 50-metre
It's
halls,
enormous in there.
It is enormous. It is. Yep. Talk about an anti-climax when the players run onto the ground. It is sheer projection and bullshit. And if the AFL did anything under the new reins of Andrew Dillon, who's taken over from the hapless man who used to be there.
Your coffee mate, Dillon.
Absolutely, it was just a fucking...
You're right. You don't need to get on the ground.
You don't need to do it. No. The great expectation of the people who keep this game afloat, which are the fans, is that the first time they see their heroes... or heroines, when they run onto the ground, is when they run onto the ground, not when they straggle out and start kicking and shyacking and doing ruck work. It is nonsense. And if you couldn't get that right, that simple act of promoting the game like that, you're not trying. And I don't know how the rest of the games went. There were some upsets with her. I don't know.
They call it round zero. So really, the game really starts next week when they all come to Melbourne. But if the AFL... love the fans so much, well, why do they put the prices for the pies, the chips, the Coca-Cola? They're all going up this year. $6.60 for a Coke.
Back? What's that?
$6.60 each.
So, Ivan, we've just said that Victoria is the highest cost of living to live in Australia.
A premium.
So if... everything's going up. Why aren't the pies going up? And why isn't the Coke going up? And the Coca-Cola going up? And the Coke has gone through the roof. I've told you a kilo now is about $250,000. So I'm told that. So why would you? Why? I know it's to pay $6 for a pie, but that's what's happening in this state. And this state, I'm told, you can tell me, I didn't believe these figures. I might have written them down incorrectly. But it cost us $340 million to get out of the Commonwealth Games. That was the... it cost.
So for doing nothing.
It cost that.
To get out of it.
They are now asking Malaysia. Malaysia are now asking who are thinking of going for them in 2026. Australia is going to Victoria is going to contribute $150 million.
I saw that.
No, I don't know if that's true or not.
It is.
So it cost us $340 million to get out of them. Yeah. We're going to be asked to pay $150 million to support Malaysia. And the Commonwealth Games, I didn't believe this, someone will correct me, it was going to cost $6 billion. The blowout of the figures that the state government under the Andrews government couldn't get a pencil and paper out and work out how much it would cost to put them on, it blew out to $6 billion.
That was the forecast, yep. And they pulled the plug on it, and we've lost all that infrastructure that was going to be built in the regional towns.
And the man, I think, that got paid out, I think someone said it was fair enough, he got paid out because his job was cut short, then got a $500,000 job without anyone being interviewed for the job, just a...
But that was posed
slightly
to
corrupt, if you ask me.
They posed that question to Jacinta Allen yesterday.
What did she say?
Nothing. No, she didn't want to say anything.
No, Jack. So we're just on sport. It made me think of it. I was speaking to someone who played, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, played in a pro-am at Royal Melbourne. And one of the prizes was...
Trans-am? No, pro-am.
Not Trans-am.
Not Trans-am, no.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah, that's right. That was a Pontiac Firebird, wasn't it?
It was, black one,
Not like Kit. Remember Kit, the talking car?
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Anyone that's under 30 is just
Kit
switched
was
off.
Called the bloke in it.
Knight Rider.
Knight Rider.
The Hoff.
That's right. What was his name? Hoff. That's his name.
Yeah. David Hasselhoff.
Well done, Ivan and Dick. And did you speak then, sir? Now,
you probably met him.
No, I never met the Hoff. I met Kit. I had a good conversation with her. It was like speaking to Don. It was a car. It could talk. Now, Sue.
The pro-am.
I know someone who won the pro-am, and the first prize. This is at Royal Melbourne Pro-Am, I don't know. And the first prize was, most prizes are a set of golf clubs or you can drive a Ferrari.
A membership.
Steak knives.
Ferrari for the weekend. Or
golf balls.
Golf balls or gloves
caps.
Or apparel. And this person told me, well, Sue, you're the person who actually won the Pro-Am with your group, and you were telling me yesterday, what was the first prize for winning a Pro-Am at Royal Melbourne, a very prestigious Pro-Am? It was a competition, I don't know what it was on behalf of. What was first prize?
Geez, you can't tell you anything in private, can you?
Well, no.
I can tell you what.
Don used to say the same thing.
It was a bit different.
I thought this was interesting. Give us what it was and played with. And
it was a corporate group, and you know, and you have a Pro-Am, and I think it was Ambrose Rules, so people love me because I'm a shocking golfer. So.
All right.
Obviously very high handicap. So we won and we got a bonsai tree.
So they said, the winner of the Pro-Am, and there's golf clubs up there, there's Callaway's and Titleist and Mizuno clubs there, and people and buggies and electric carts, and people looking at them, shit, I wonder what we're going to win. And they said, and the first prize to the group with comprising of Billy Bunter and Mark Swanson and Sue Stanley is, and they brought it out, it was a thing you could hardly see because bonsai trees are by very...
By nature, small.
In fact, I know a person that owned a bonsai store, and business was so good he had to move into smaller premises.
It was a big one though.
What happened?
Is
an oxymoron?
How big was a big one?
No. The base was about that big, and it was about this one.
So it was a mature one. Who got
one.
To keep it?
You? I got it.
Oh, lovely!
But we also got a jumper.
Just for a certain time, and then hand it on.
And they're very, very valuable. You'll think that it's a good prize. When I say it's a good prize, at a golf tournament, you'd like the golf clubs, but the bonsai tree. So it's quite expensive. So where is the bonsai tree now?
Look, the green thumb that I am. I killed it.
It died.
Yeah. No, they take it. How do you kill a bonsai tree? You've got decades.
They're like cockroaches. You cannot get rid of them.
That's what I thought.
But you managed to. It's just no longer.
No, but I also killed cactuses, which they say that you can't kill a cactus, but I killed cactuses as well.
An expert. Not a green thumb.
I jump up and down really well, but a green finger is not my.
So if you get asked to go to a Pro-Am, maybe if you don't want a bonsai tree, just check to see what the prizes are if you win. And if they're not golf clubs or golf apparel, maybe give it a miss.
Well, what's the best prize you've ever won from a golf tournament or a Pro-Am that you've won?
I'm not sure that I've ever won anything. It's a very good question, that, Sue, because this is the problem with Pro-Ams, and there's quite a lot of legal backwards and forwards gone with serious Pro-Ams around the world, because people like you, I'm not saying you necessarily.
Mentioning me, but yes.
Well, people who don't have golf handicaps or massage their handicaps to keep having a high handicap. If you're a member of a golf club, you have a golf handicap. Under scrutiny for all to see. You know, you can look up and see what someone's handicap is. Yep. It's transparent. And what happens is people who are on reasonable handicaps, I used to play off low figures, but I play off 8 or 9 or 10 or 11. And if you have four people who play off 8 or 9 or 10 or 11, you'll never ever get anywhere near winning a Pro-Am, because you have people who play off 27 who actually are reasonable golfers but don't have a handicap, and they turn up and they say, have you got a handicap? And they say, no, I haven't. Well, how often do you play? I said, once or twice a year. I said, all right, we'll give you 27. And what happens is some of the scores that come in are just – in fact, it is actually – tantamount to cheating. It is cheating.
It is cheating.
It is absolutely cheating. And people who have won cars and golf clubs and serious prizes, they have been challenged by the other people who participate in it, and so much so that the club have been obliged to check if the person has ever been a member of a club. If they have, are they on the register? If they're on the register, what are their handicaps? And they've been asked to give them back, and they've been blackballed. But that's the problem with amateur golf, that you can massage your handicap.
Well, I was very lucky that it was in a charity fundraising days that I did.
Just hot off the wires here, I'm just only clickbaited the headline here. What's it say? A golfer
hand is gone. Horror moment. Hand. Man loses hand on golf course.
And there's a crocodile. Fella,
oh, it's a crocodile.
It's an alligator, maybe.
Oh, yeah, an alligator. That's right.
What, in the US?
Is that in America?
Yeah. Got a, yeah.
That Florida came up and snapped his hand off as he drove past the 15th green.
A Florida fisherman has had his hand chewed off by a monster gator that lunged at him from a golf course pond on the weekend.
Wow. Did he finish? What did he finish on playing with one hand?
I shouldn't laugh. No, he's lost his hand.
That's a handicap.
Sure. So yeah, that yeah. Did he finish just the round with the one hand or what?
I don't think so.
Did it take the one that he had his glove on?
Oh, not too
might
sure.
Have to get a right-handed glove to put on.
Yeah, you might have to switch hands now.
Well, there you are. The old green thumb here has managed to see the bonsai. How long did it last? Incidentally,
it lasted a while. Probably 6 months.
Oh, that's
did you feed it or tend it or clip
I think,
it?
I think I actually overwatered it. I think
yeah, I've heard you don't water them much.
You don't water them, but I didn't know that. So I'd watered my bonsai probably over
and regularly.
And you clip them with nail scissors. You clip their little buds and things.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. Like
listen to Mr. Green Thumb here.
Oh, well.
What did you do yesterday?
Well, I'll tell you what, Sue. If you had, you're a whiz at this. How long ago was this? Did you have mobile? Was Google out then?
Google was only just out. It would have been 15 years ago, I'd say. So.
Okay, well, you could have looked up the information in the Encyclopedia Britannica. Did you ever have any of those?
No.
You used to have to garage to put those books in. Now they're all on a tablet. you could have looked up how to tend bonsai plants without overwatering them.
Well, I could have.
They're prized possessions in Japan, obviously. It's part of their culture. And it's something they're almost considered sacred in Japan.
Okay, make me feel bad, you guys. Jesus Christ, I've just killed... The only thing is I killed a plant.
No, he's...
Come on.
Right. Yeah. They should come with a set of instructions, I should say that.
True.
Now, I've just... If you are living on another planet, they are obsessed with a certain person in American politics, which made me think, if you could name the most recognisable person that's living... At the minute, in the world, Ivan, the name of someone, who would you have a crack at? Would it be Taylor? Do you think everyone in the world has heard of Taylor Swift?
Possibly, yeah. Possibly. Yeah, it'd be up there.
Well, yep. Hang on. A lot of people have Ivan. Muff, man. But a dick. But would you think people in Siberia or China or China wouldn't they?
Maybe. Yeah, China. Right. Siberia maybe not so maybe, much.
No, she's not so big in Siberia. No. She had to cancel the...
she has to wear this big jacket.
The Siberian leg of the Eras tour.
Would you think now everyone would know the Pope, but they wouldn't know his name. They just know him as the Pope.
As the Pope, yeah. So what is his name?
Well, there you are. So we'll just discount him. Is it Francis?
Pope Francis at the moment, unfortunately, yep. He's a bad Pope.
Has he got an actual name?
He's a bad one.
When he was a young lad living in Sicily, they say, gee, Mario Swanson, that's his name, Mario Spaghetti. You're going to be the Pope now.
Francis Spaghetti.
Pope Mario.
He's from South America, I think, so he has a South American.
Go on.
Go ahead. I know who you're alluding to.
Well, question.
For sure. Trump.
Trump's definitely.
He's everywhere.
Would everyone in the world know who Donald Trump is?
Yes, no. North Korea would, definitely.
Fucking oath they would.
Yeah, they would. Yeah.
Well, they'll certainly know about it come November.
Who wouldn't? Not whether you like him or not. Just, they are obsessed. The whole American media... Talk about the poor people trying to run against either Biden or Trump. They get not a look in. They never get mentioned. The whole of the political comment in America is about Trump. They lead no other news broadcasts or insights into topical discussion on news channels, either the mainstream media or cable television, that's not centered around Trump. It's extraordinary.
Filters.
Who don't you think would have heard of Trump, Susan?
Oh, a lot of people wouldn't have heard of Trump.
Eskimos? But
the countries. What do you think? It wouldn't be New Uganda or
no, they know him.
Africa? Oh,
they love Africa him. Would definitely United know him.
But are you asking the most popular person?
No, I'm not. I'm
famous.
No,
I'm most just famous saying. Or popular?
Famous.
Well, aren't they two the one of the same thing?
No. You can be infamous. I mean, like Hitler. Not mentioning Hitler and Trump in the same word. I mean, Hitler was infamous, but...
And everyone would know him.
He was popular for a little
and
bit.
And everyone would know him.
But he's not living. What I'm saying is, who do you think is the most recognisable person, whether you like him or not, on the planet at the minute? If
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Who?
No.
Well, there you are. No. So,
I know the name.
No, it's definitely Donald Trump. He's the world's most famous person. Yeah.
As of January 2, 2024, Cristiano Ronaldo is the most followed person on Instagram. Over 589 million followers, renowned for the most, one of the most and exceptional footballers in his held position in the world.
Yep.
I reckon he is.
What's in 2002? Okay, well, that's...
No, 2024.
You just said 2002, didn't you?
January 2.
January
2. Oh, January 2. So you reckon... More people on the planet would know Cristiano Ronaldo.
Well, they would admit to knowing Cristiano Ronaldo rather than Trump.
No, but I'm not trying to be provocative or partisan. You are saying because you, I don't know if you like Trump or not, doesn't matter. What I'm saying is, would there be any more recognisable person on the planet than Donald Trump at the minute? And a serious question. You could say, oh, turn it up.
I think you're right.
Do you think more people would know who he is than Trump?
That's all right. You disagreed with me?
No, I didn't disagree. Susan, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm asking you, do you think? Do you?
That's my opinion.
Hang on, I'm not disagreeing with your opinion because opinion can never be right or wrong. It's correct. An opinion. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying you honestly think more people would know who Cristiano Ronaldo is than Donald Trump, and you're saying you do.
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you might be right.
Could be right.
I don't think so.
Messy.
I think Trump is definitely the world's most famous man, and probably Taylor Swift is the world's most famous woman. That would be my guess.
No.
And it doesn't necessarily mean... that you like her or that you like their Instagram page. Because just as many people hate Trump as maybe like him.
What is the most viewed sport in the world?
Is soccer.
Correct.
Well, sure. Well, I'm not saying he's not famous, this guy.
What is the other week? What is the ubiquitous, which means I think all covering everything. What's the most ubiquitous profession in the world? It's politics. Every country that's on the planet... It has a political wing or a set of rules, and if you're into politics, you'd probably know the political man that is Donald Trump. That's all I'm saying.
All right, you win.
No.
You can't have a different opinion against you.
You cannot win with an opinion. I'm not disagreeing with you. That's why I asked.
You did disagree with me.
I did not disagree with you.
Yeah, because you think Trump.
I'm asking you, I didn't disagree with you at all. At all.
It's just my opinion.
That's
what I just said. You cannot have an opinion that's wrong. It's an opinion.
The most popular sport by participation. I don't think you'll get this.
Bowls.
No. Negative.
Lawn bowls.
Who?
No.
What?
Volleyball.
Volleyball.
By an outstanding amount.
Yeah, do you know why?
Why?
Because all the Brazilians play it?
Oh, I'd say all the Chinese play it. There's about 1.5 billion of them.
Well, number of players, 998 million. Mm. Second is basketball with 450. That's almost half.
Basketball?
You disagree with that, Sue?
No, I agree with that.
AFL? No.
I reckon I run far out with lawn bowls. I reckon lawn bowls around the world. Would that be
gymnastics right? was one of the most participant in Australia. So, because it has underneath its banner, it's got gymnastics, artistic, it's got rhythmic, it's got trampolining, it's got tumbling. aerobics.
A lot of middle-aged men and women are into gymnastics and tumbling and rhythmic balls and ribbons. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've seen thousands of those old Sheilas in nursing homes doing rhythmic gymnastics. Are you serious?
Because they have aerobics underneath it as well, which then holds gym members of, because you don't know what kind of aerobics they do. So it's a participation sport.
I'm going to enrol in some rhythmic gymnastics after. I'm going to go out.
You reckon you're going to go all right?
Yeah, I might go into the Senior Olympics as a gymnast. Oh, gymnast.
Going to see you in a G-string.
Get on the Roman ring. Mankini. Get on the Roman rings and do the crucifix and dislocate me shoulders and elbows.
Take me out.
One back of the microambulance.
That'd be a good look for the Commonwealth Games.
So Trump... He's without doubt one of the world's most famous people, though. We could say that.
Shut up, Muff. Jesus Christ, get off the freaking...
Muff.
Yeah. We're trying...
He's
back on course.
So if I said to you, you can't separate the emotion and from the clinical thing that I'm asking. If I said I thought Obama was the most well-known, you'd say, Obama, because you don't like him. What?
He would be one of the world's most famous people, yes. Well, and Putin would be another one.
Yes. Do you think Putin would be better known in the world than Ronaldo or Trump or Taylor Swift?
Putin would be
or
more
Sue
well-known.
Stanley. What?
Putin would be more known than Ronaldo because a lot of people don't like soccer, like myself. I'd never heard of him.
Yeah, but a lot of people are not interested in politics and would never have heard of...
A lot of people have known him after.
No, people would have heard of Putin.
I'm still trying to find it.
And that's the point of this.
Yep.
And the fact that the media in America are absolutely obsessed shows you how just puerile they are. How, honestly, I think most of the people you watch, there's a station called MSNBC that has a couple of hosts. If they haven't got syphilis...
Morning Joe.
If you look at them, their eyes are squinty. They've got Coke bottle glasses. They got hair that sticks up like Beavis and Butthead. If there's not some medical problem with those people, I reckon they've got syphilis. Yeah. It's just extraordinary. And the nonsense they talk...
From Epstein Island as
the
well.
The nonsense they talk about. It's
Speaking of hair, you've had a haircut, have you?
What's that, Ivan?
You've had a haircut?
Is this the first time you've seen me since when? How long? I saw you yesterday. You didn't ask me that then.
Well,
what do you mean about a haircut?
Well, some people in the comments, they go on about the haircut.
Oh, the dunny brush, yeah. And then a lot of them say it's time to go back to the nursing home. We love all those things, but
sure
don't
we do.
Keep writing them in. in. I should read a couple out. Now, we've got the doc coming on. I'll tell you what we're doing, another segment after that. I've got other things to say. Well, went and saw a play at the Heidi Victoria took us, said, could we go to a play called The Gaslight? It's called Gaslight at the Comedy Theatre. Suzanne and I went and we did a critique on it, which we're going to post on YouTube. And I'm not sure Heidi will like the critique. She will. It was good. We saw it under the most unfortunate circumstances. The curtain was up. But after that, no, I'm only joking. I thought it was very well written.
I think the acting was absolutely... I'm not into plays myself,
I could tell you weren't into plays. You said, what's that? I said, that's the curtain. I said, what are they going to do with it? I said, they're going to open it. And that's how it's going to start. You said, oh, I see. So that got you on the edge.
So only four participants, only four actors?
No set changes.
How long did it go for? It was done in a room.
Minimalist.
Heidi Victoria, we sat next to Heidi.
Minimalist.
She was as twitchy as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. She thought it was lass that did it was Geraldine Hakewell. Then there was Kate Fitzpatrick. Courtney Cavallaro and Toby Schmitz, who, as we were walking into this theatre, I didn't know what Toby looked like, but Toby, there was this bloke standing out in a pair of braces and checked slacks and made up, and he was having a fag. He was having a smoke.
Hang on a minute.
Smoking a cigarette.
It wasn't Don.
And
was it?
I said, I bet that bloke's in the play. And sure enough, when the curtain opened, there he was, Tony Schmitz. And well, my word, did we did it. Yeah. And so we're putting a review on it. And Heidi Victoria was beside herself because I didn't realise. I thought when she asked us to go to the play, I thought she was in it. And I said, well, why are we here? She said, oh, because I've asked you to come. And then I found out that she's an investor in it.
Mm.
Should I have said that?
Well, you just did.
A producer.
Can't tell you anything in private.
Well, she said she's an investor.
A producer?
We're going to crank it up. And it runs, I said, when we got in there, I sat down, I said to her, how long's the play go for, Heidi? Mm. She said, 3.5 weeks. I said, no, I just go for an hour or 2 hours. Or so anyhow, that's how much we knew about it. So we're going to ring off now and hope the doc rings in. So we got more stuff to speak about here. We have. So that's it for the minute. So thank you.